Day 7, 10th of May, 1926. Stockport Strike Bulletin. It is just a week since we were all anxiously lying in wait, with a mental picture of the coal miner, his home and family before our eyes. Someone blundered, and along the line the signal ran. On every front, and indeed throughout every area of the campaign, 99% of our people are now steadfastly pursuing the path of duty. When the daily press reports individuals or sections returning to work, I beg you to remember, even if the report be true, that the same percentage is still maintained. For every single person who returns to work, and in that way surrenders his or her manhood or womanhood, 100 more stand at attention. Thousands are added daily to the strikers' roll call, while hundreds of thousands are chafing because the TUC instruct them to continue at their work. In every district, capable and trusted colleagues are dealing with local matters, and we are in direct daily contact with headquarters by means of dispatch riders. If you harbour any fears, they are unworthy and certainly mistaken. After a week's constraint, we can confidently assert that the social conscience is aroused and that it can only be soothed and becalmed again when outrage and tyranny is superseded by equity and justice. We urge you to help the committee in perfect order and quietness. Local incidents. An ex-railway employee of ours has refused an invitation to blacklag. Long Lane Cheadle, volunteer driver knocked down a cyclist, never stopped to inquire. Crew, all buses off the road, demonstration 10,000 people. Clayton Bridge, train run by blackleg smashes into crossing gates. Gate now on platform in fragments. The promised homes for heroes is now varied to protection for blacklegs.
The British Gazette. The general situation is unchanged. On the whole, throughout England, the attempted obstruction by pickets to the movement of necessary supplies has weakened and is being more effectually overcome. Maintaining London's milk supply. Work of a great organisation in Hyde Park. A tour around Hyde Park reveals that the city of milk is full of life and activity. The vast requirements of the metropolis have run like clockwork. Along one section are massed great fleets of lorries which have done their day's work and are parked near the rest houses ready to return in the early morning to their various destinations, carrying empty churns, thence to come back with a full load. London requires 230,000 gallons of milk a day, and the mere fact shows that enormous resources and arrangements are needed to enable the emergency organisation of the great milk pool. Over the way, along the main street of huts, is a large marquee, brilliantly lighted, the YMCA canteen, where the tired drivers foregather. A meat pie costs 1.5p, and a good sound meal with tea and coffee can be obtained at any hour of the day and night for 6p, or even less. Ladies who volunteer their services are on duty at night from 9pm to 7am, when a fresh shift comes on. Hut after hut, fully occupied, is still in the throes of business in this throbbing hive of activity. The huts, fully equipped with gas, stoves and telephones, and furniture commandeered from Wembley, were erected all ready for occupation within 24 hours. The milk pool has made good, and once again the food section of the Board of Trade has lived up to its old Ministry of Food reputation.
Railwomen's Bulletin. Today sees the commencement of the second week of the struggle, and today the position is stronger than ever. We are maintaining our solidarity in a way that is an inspiration to all who are playing a part, large or small. Yesterday a car containing two students was stopped by our pickets at Sighthill Goods Depot. One of the students was in possession of a hedging knife, and he started to use it as a weapon of offence against those who were prepared to enter into a friendly argument with him. One of our pickets was forced to take stops to take this dangerous weapon from the student, and in a struggle which followed, the student's hand was cut. An offer was made to have the hand dressed, but this offer was declined. Police were on the spot during the time the disturbance took place, and although one constable was requested to place the student under arrest, he declined to do so, He, however, took the man who was at the bottom of all the trouble to a place where his wounds could be attended to. At Larbert, a driver of a motor vehicle drove right through a crowd of people, with the result that several had to be taken to the infirmary. The driver was arrested at the time, but was discharged the following morning. Police are also being driven through the streets of Glasgow in private motor cars, and whenever the slightest excuse is afforded, arrests follow.